Welcome to Life Seeds. It's been a while, Crocodile. Yeah, we are just heading our way towards season two. This is a bonus before season two. Joining me this evening, this afternoon, this morning, whenever the heck you're watching this or listening to this, is the wonderful Amanda Weldon. How was summer for you?
Oh, summer has been good. Our weather here in Canada has been phenomenal, but I will say when it rains, it pours. We have not gotten any drizzly days. It has been hot and humid or big rainstorms. And I grew my first little condo garden this summer, Frankie. You know that. And we've been seeing a lot of changes in your garden too. How has summer been for you?
Summer's been great. You know, I did. I actually had the ability to go out to the West Coast to see Vancouver and Whistler, really dry out there. So it's amazing how it was sunny and hot, but there's some areas that we had wildfires. My backyard, I can tell that it was sunny and hot because my tomatoes are off the hook. I got loads of tomatoes. I got eggplants. I had zucchini coming all over the place. I did a lot of garden to table. If you follow my social media, which you helped me with this summer, Amanda, as well, on all the different things that you can use your food with. And I grew everything in containers. It's either in troughs or in pots. And I grew a lot of things.
Which shows that even if you have a smaller space, like a space that isn't even as big as your backyard, Frankie, you can do it all. And anytime I came over, guys, he's a true Italian. I would walk away with tomato sauce, zucchini pizza, like anything that you grew in your garden. It was really fun.
It was
really
fun. Dish there. Yeah.
Filming kind of spurt there for us.
So, you know, I'm really looking forward to wanting to travel.
You have some in the books too.
Yeah, I have some in the books. We're going to talk about that in a second as well. We've got some plans for next year, for 2022. When it comes to garden travel, it's become very popular. The people all over the world want to go to great destinations where they can see great plant life, and either planned gardens or wildlife. And a lot of the times it's just to take the Instagram picture, but as well, it's also to find inspiration. Amanda's dad is a pilot, and I know that Amanda has done lots of travel and loves to travel. So Amanda, is there any place that comes to mind when you think of flowers and you think of color and you think of just sheer beauty?
So we prepped a little bit. So I really got a chance to think about this, Frankie, and there's three different spots I want to mention. I think that it's so funny how smell carries such a strong memory, right? We've heard of that a lot. You have a smell, whether it be grandma cooking pie brings you back to that memory of being with her in the kitchen, or honeysuckle in the air, maybe you were somewhere. But for me, it has been flowers a little bit. And the sight as well aspect, when we're talking about all of those senses, is those bright colors. One of my favorite places to go and see bougainvillea has been Greece, because you have that contrast of, you know, the white walls or whatever it may be, and this just absolutely massive plant that you only wish that you could grow here up in Canada. The second thing I'll mention is, before the pod, you were saying, hey, there's amazing Royal Botanical Gardens all around the world. And immediately I thought of Australia. So I've gotten the chance to go to Sydney twice. Guys, if you go to Sydney, you have to go to the Botanical Gardens. You're not going to miss it, because likely if you're in Sydney, you're going to head your way down to the harbor and be at the Opera House. And right next to the Opera House is the Botanical Gardens. But don't miss it. Walk through. It's vast. It's expansive. And what's so cool about Botanical Gardens often too is they'll have classes or art features from local artists around, and they'll also have people featured for their gardening. So they'll come in and do their own little display, which has been so cool. And the third, which I would love to hear your take on where you would like to go. The third, my mom has always talked about Hawaii. It was one of her favorite places as a kid that she went on vacation. She recalls the smell immediately getting off the plane of the hibiscus and just all of these beautiful things around, maybe mixed floral and sea, and the greenery and the color, which you have mentioned. And so that's the place that is now on my bucket list to go, specifically to see all of this beautiful floral fauna and floral that you can get there. So where would you like to go?
So I'll tell you some of the places that I have been as well.
Okay.
You know, and I've kind of done things a little bit differently, because I've done plant trials in California. So I've gone out to see new annual varieties in fields, which is kind of a different way of looking at different but exciting and brand new varieties. I've done the drive from Vancouver all the way down into Los Angeles. But during that drive, I went to tree nurseries and was looking at different trees to purchase along the time. Absolutely beautiful, though. But if I comes to mind where I would travel to, one area that I was surprised about, just how much I loved it, was Arizona. And the Desert Botanical Garden in Arizona is an amazing botanical garden with a huge collection of succulents and cacti, with a wonderful restaurant that's there and lots of art installments. So that was absolutely stunning. The Netherlands, we're going to talk a little bit about the Netherlands, but if you've ever gone to the Netherlands in spring, unbelievable. To take a look at Kokenhof, which is a garden there that's unbelievable. One that I haven't been to, but I want to go to here in Canada, is Butchard's Gardens, which is out in Victoria Island. A wonderful story that's there. I've seen several pictures. I've actually met the people from Butchard Gardens, and it was built out of an old gravel pit. And you know, just even locally for where I live, there's the Toronto Botanical Gardens, which is great. So there's gardens that you can go to in your backyard, and then there's gardens you can go to far away. I will also say Hawaii is very, very beautiful. Maui,
okay,
is amazing.
Another tick, gotta go.
Yeah, but Hong Kong, I will tell you, Hong Kong, in terms of seeing some of the plant life where they have all these skyscrapers, but there's an appreciation to it. So Hong Kong is a really interesting place, and the botanical gardens that I visited there was really interesting. And then the Seated Buddha that I went to outside of Hong Kong. So there's lots, but somewhere where I'm pumped about going, like pumped, because you know, we've been stuck at home, is a garden show that we're gonna find out about that doesn't happen very often. It basically is one that's not too far away. We can get on a nice quick flight and fly just across the pond to Europe. And this is something that I'm hosting next year, and I'm hoping I'm gonna get Amanda to come as well.
Fingers crossed, guys.
This is gonna be a river cruise with Emerald Cruises. So the whole idea is we're gonna start our way off and fly into Zurich, and then go over to Basel, Switzerland, and then go up the Rhine in a river cruise, right? It actually has a heated pool that then there's a cover that goes over the top that I think becomes a dance floor or something thereafter. We're gonna go up the Rhine. We're gonna go to a place called Cologne. Have you heard of Cologne, Germany?
No, I've only smelled it.
Yeah, and it was named, I looked it up. I was trying to find out
really?
If the name Cologne was named after the city Cologne. It turns out it was an Italian barber that was there that created the stuff that they put
like
over.
Like aftershave?
The aftershave. And then he named it after the city you lived in. So he named it after Cologne. Boom. So we
wow,
go through there.
Wow, you learn something every day.
Yeah, you find out. Yeah, good fun facts for a Friday night dinner. Then you cruise your way up the Rhine, and then you end off in Amsterdam, and you go to a show which is called Floriad. And Floriad's so special that I thought we'd bring somebody special on with us. So I'd like to introduce you to Faya. Garden tourism, something that I want to do. I'm looking forward to so much so that I'm so excited about next summer, July 2022, traveling all the way over to Europe. Going to hop on a boat that's going to start us off in Basel, Switzerland, but end off in Amsterdam to a show that's so special that really I can't even tell you how special it is, Amanda. So we have Faya with us this afternoon, whatever time you're listening to us. Faya, meet Amanda. Amanda, meet Faya. And Faya, it's great to meet you.
Great to meet you too, Frankie and Amanda.
We're so happy to have you here. I know Frankie has so many questions on Floriad because this is like a gardener's dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me about Floriad. For those that don't know what Floriad is, can you just give us like a little simple description?
Yes, of course. So what is Floriad? So it is actually the seventh edition in the Netherlands of the World Horticultural Expo Floriad. It's only held every 10 years, so it's really something not to miss. And this edition takes place in Almere, a city in the metropolitan area of Amsterdam. And so during Floriad, you see the Dutch horticulture sector in combination with national and international participants. They will exhibit green solutions that make our cities more fun, livable, and sustainable.
You know, when it comes to the Netherlands, I actually have traveled there before to see horticulture at its best. Everything from greenhouse growing. Of course, we think about Netherlands and the spring flowering bulbs. We think about just all the different sales in terms of cut flowers as well. So this is probably the world's best when it comes to horticulture, coming to one area to show their best.
Yes, yeah, it definitely is. There's a lot of horticulture to see there, and just the combination of it being national participants and international participants just makes it a great show to see.
How long does it take to build?
The preparation has been going on for 10 years. Well, not by myself, but there's a lot to plan and to prepare to get this expo happening.
Yeah, like I'm questioning, if it takes you 10 years to build, when the show is done, are these permanent installments that happen, or like what happens?
Yeah, yes, there actually some parts are. So the really cool thing about this Floriad edition is that the expo will be a new city district for the city of Almere after the expo. So lots of buildings will stay on site, also the flowers, the plants. They will stay there, and new houses will be built as well. For example, what's also already on site is a new university, a green university. And there's also been an elderly home being built. That's all buildings that will stay there.
Okay, so Faya, we've got these huge installments. And of course you would think, okay, gardening, flowers, all these things, but you can really mold that into a theme. Is there a theme for this year?
Yes, there is definitely a theme for next year, a very important one, if I may say. So the theme is called Growing Green Cities. And this theme is the theme of Floriad next year, because by 2050, about 70% of the world population will live in cities. And cities only take place on 2% of the Earth's surface area. So the question is, how do we live with all these people in cities and still make these cities more green and sustainable for people to live their healthier and greener lives?
So I guess there will be some aspect of food production as well in yes. terms of how to feed the city.
Yes, absolutely. Feeding the city is also one of the sub-themes as well. Of the expo, we actually have four sub themes, which are greening the city, feeding the city, energizing the city, and healthying the city. And with these four sub themes, our participants also showcase their solutions.
When does it start and when does it end? I know that we'll be there in late July into August, but when does Floriad start and when does it end for others to attend?
Yes, so the expo starts on the 14th of April, 2022, and it ends at the 9th of October, 2022. So it's
everybody. So you get to take in flower bulbs, which flower bulbs in bloom in the Netherlands is unbelievable.
Yes, you get to take them in as well.
So for the event, are there highlights, like you don't want to miss this kind of thing if you're only there for a short period of time? What are the highlights for 2022?
The expo's green structure is the arboretum, and the arboretum is actually a alphabetically organized tree and plant encyclopedia from A to Z. So the whole park is based on that. So every visitor will walk through a full plant and tree encyclopedia. And we already have planted 14,000 flowers there. And the flower bulbs will be planted in October and November, so they can really flourish during the expo.
The one thing that's happened during the pandemic that I've seen globally is people's appreciation for nature, people's appreciation for having even just a plant inside their home. For yourself, that you are in the heartland of horticulture, I would say, which is the Netherlands, are you more grateful that you live in that area? Are you more aware of the environment that you live around and just the importance, how you've always appreciated plants, but even more so now?
Yes, I actually think I appreciate it more so even now. I've got loads in my house as well. As what you. Yes, actually, I really do like walking around in nature as well. And I really think it's important to still really have those green spaces in cities, especially because cities are becoming more and more busy and there's being built more and more. But to have those greener spaces, even in cities, is just so important to me.
Amazing. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to be there. I know that I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. We've done some of these Zooms, so it'd be nice to see you.
Yeah.
And in terms of people that are looking to book tickets globally, internationally, Is there a website that they should go to?
Yes, they can find all information on our website, floriad.com.
Well, Faya, thank you. Just to let everybody know that's listening, we're recording this. It's 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For Faya, it is just after 10, which I don't stay up past after 10. So good night, sleep tight, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you next year.
Awesome, thank you.
Once every 10 years. First of all, Faya was so delightful. Frankie, I can't believe she was joining us at 10 p.m. We had this juxtaposition of you, who gets up at 2:30 a.m., and her, who is at 10 p.m., but I just can't wait for you to even be able to see Floriad and these big installments. I don't know if personally I could even conceptualize how big this is going to be, that it's built every 10 years and they're already in that process. But the question that I had from a standpoint of being a novice, maybe to more of a gardener, how much planning would have to go into something like this? Because she was talking about, you know, they're planting bulbs now. For then, right? And I'm sure that this has just been absolutely, of course, years in the making.
You know, I think the best way to compare it to is it's the Olympics of gardening. And so when you think about how the Olympics take years, where there's a bidding process that goes into place, and it takes years to put together, and then, you know, they're building a green university, they're building a seniors home, they're building structures. So that's why it takes so long. So the planning not only takes decades, but there's a lot of just hours of work that goes behind this. But I love it that it's something that creates something for the future. It's not a show that just kind of happens and then leaves. It actually leaves a permanent impact to that community. And also the impact that it could lead to globally. Because when we talk about cities and sustainability, we talk about global warming. And we know that we have to cool the cities down. We know we have to make them reduce their carbon footprint. We know that we have to feed the cities. And so the lessons that we can learn out of Floriad for 2022 are hopefully lessons that create a better community of the future.
I remember taking some university courses in environmental science, and it's just so interesting to see green roofs, for example. We've all seen those. We've all heard of those going through the city where basically, if you're not familiar, you grow a garden on top of your building. And it has actually proven to help cool the building. And provide even a respite or even food for people who live there. So I'm just so curious to see what they come out with in this.
Yeah, and that's old technology. Green roofs, if you think about it, if you go to Ireland, you go to Scotland, you know, a lot of these cottages had these green thatch roofs, and everybody, you know, they're like, that was the old time, because what they want to do is create a cooler kind of environment indoors in the summer, but a warmer environment in the winter to retain heat. And that's exactly what a green roof does. So what I love right now is that things that happened in the past are being brought around. So it's like full circle, because sometimes we lost ourselves. Every once in a while in life, we lose ourselves, and we got to bring ourselves back around. So you reflect on the past, you look at those good ideas, and you try to incorporate them with future thoughts, and you're going to have a great future ahead.
So a question that I'm sure a few people have is, when you say you're hosting, you know, and you're going through the process of hosting, what does that mean?
Yeah, so what I'm doing is I'm working with a company called Emerald Cruises. Emerald Cruises is a premier company that does river cruises. And so they do river cruises in many different locations, but the Jewels of the Rhine is one of their signature cruises. So they asked me to come and said, hey, Floriad's happening only once every 10 years. We would like to do a garden theme cruise. So what's cool is during the cruise, there's a garden theme cocktail party. There's actually a garden trivia night. And then I'll be doing a couple other classes while we go through. When we get to Floriad as well, we'll be meeting with one of the officials of Floriad, but I'll be there to answer some questions along the way. So what means is that I get to go experience the cruise with you, but I'm there to help you and guide you and also excite you. I will tell you that I know some people that have already booked the cruise as well are some greenhouse growers, and also a couple of the breeders that I know. They're just coming because they think it's cool, and they're like, this would be really amazing. So there's going to be some great horticultural minds. I know those people are quite fun. Let me tell you, they're very fun.
You mentioned the dance floor already.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. So it's July the 29th to August the 5th. And once again, we start in Basel on the boat, but you fly into Zurich, and then you cruise up the Rhine. And then as you cruise up the Rhine, we end off in Floriad. With that, you're going to get some behind the scenes kind of look at Floriad as well. So it's going to be a very remarkable once in a lifetime trip. The other aspects about this too, if you're worried about COVID, when you're booking as well, there is some insurance that are actually added in for you. And there's some different, just to give you that security. So it's a little of a $500 deposit to secure, and you can go and book this trip. So there's just some minimal seats that are still available as well. But I'm super stoked just to travel.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. First of all, before we get into the travel chat, I want to say if I do get to go, I shoddy being on your tribute team.
Okay.
I might not pull my weight, but
I'll put you on there.
I'll cheer you on.
Yeah, no, I think I'll just throw you on there for comic relief.
Imagine if I was just spitting all of the facts and you were like, maybe we should be filming you on the flower team. I've learned a thing or two over the years. Okay, so speaking to travel, what is one of your favorite travel memories or one of your favorite places you've ever been?
So travel memories, like I'm a big Disney guy too. Like I there's something special about Disney, and I've been to Disney so many times with Breakfast Television and even with previous jobs at the new VR. And every time I'm there, it's just the way they execute. They have a great garden show there as well, which is at the Epcot Flower and Garden Show that happens every year. Mm-hmm. It's just great because a lot of those memories come with my kids, you know? So I think of the memories and the smiles on my boys' faces and them meeting Mickey, and every one of my travel memories relates to my St. Lucia, with just one day I spent the day with Gavin traveling around the island, and he was really into photography at the time, and it's a very lush island. So there's always a memory from every trip. Italy, when I went to go visit cousins and just watching my two boys play soccer with their cousins on the beach, even though they had a language barrier, soccer connected them. So every time I travel, I'm always inspired. And I like flights. I actually got to tell you, I actually kind of like sitting in the plane and
sometimes I look forward
to watching the movie.
Because you can totally log off, Frankie. You are always you have had every minute of the day booked for years, and you can finally log off.
Yeah, I like that, you know? And and so, yeah, for memories, every trip has a different memory. Everyone has a different memory. How about yourself?
I like that you mentioned Disney because maybe people would overlook it because it's more of, might feel more of an entertainment experience than a travel experience. But Disney is so cool because everything is thought of, down to the costume of whoever's serving you at the restaurant. It's just so cool to have that experience. And I think that's what Floriade will feel like, but in like a flower world that everything is thought of. Some of my favorite memories have actually been traveling with my dad on the shortest layovers. So sometimes in a pre-COVID world, I'm sure this will happen again, but if there are enough seats on the plane, then I could possibly go with my dad to work. And if it's a 48-hour layover, a 72-hour layover, if you guys have had the opportunity to travel cities, you know, you don't need a lot of time to get the lay of the land if you're ready to go. So some of my favorite memories have been going to explore the Guinness factory in Ireland and learning how to pour a proper Guinness with my dad. Or one time we went to Greece. It was a 48-hour layover, so the first couple of hours, the first day you get there, and he's tired, obviously, because he's been flying. So you have a nap, you get up around 2, and you are like, you're ready to go. So that's when we did the Acropolis and just walking around there. But then the next day, after doing more of the touristy stuff, we decided, let's do something neither of us have ever done. And he's a great tour guide, so this was so fun. So we ended up going down to the ferries and then booking a ferry to go over to one of the islands. And what we did is my dad has a motorcycle, so he's like very proficient in driving a moped or a motorcycle. We rented a moped, we got our little helmets, and we just mopeded around the entire island. And we just, around every curve, around every corner, you didn't know what you were gonna see. And we stumbled upon these amazing ruins. And similarly, the last time we went, we rented a car and just drove the coastline. And you know these coastlines, Frankie, like you're curving and you can't see what's around the next corner. And I remember we stumbled upon the ruins of Poseidon and we saw this big tour bus stop and we're like, cool, we'll just stop there. Or there'll be a small cafe down on the beach. And I think I can't wait for things to be novel again. Like even something so simple as looking down at the streets in Dublin and it says, look left, because the streets are flipped and that's there for Americans not to kill themselves walking off the
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to, you know, just being excited over seeing something new or connecting with new people like Faya today. She was so great.
It's always great to connect. And I got a comment as well. It sounds like your dad's kind of like Top Gun. He's a pilot. He drives a motorcycle.
He's looks like, good in a pair of aviators.
Yeah, totally. He's like, tell your dad I call him Top Gun Senior.
Oh, that would be great. Maybe drop the senior. I don't know if you want to make friends or.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, can't wait for travel. And it was so great to have Faya on today. And, you know, we're going to put all the links on in the podcast itself if you have any comments or questions as well. And I look forward to meeting people from around the world and spreading some garden joy, you know, planting some other seeds, other places, and growing great things.
Yeah, you guys can go to this too. So check out Frankie's Facebook at Ask Frankie Flowers. It's always a mouthful because we also have a little bit more information there, I believe, pinned at the top of his page. And then, of course, there'll be some on Instagram. You're going to be throwing up some lives. And thanks for listening today.
There you go. So there we go. 1, 2, 3. That is the place to be. In 22, we will be going to somewhere where you should do. That do is Floriade. It's always a great time. Always great to be with you, Amanda. That's my rhyme for tonight because this man's tired and I'm going to go say goodnight.
Hashtag sleep deprivation. Bye, guys.
Bye.